this is Atsuko from Shonen Life, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM.
Thank you. are the dreamers of dreams.
We are back here on Songs from the Squid Pod with your host, Savoir Faire. It is just after 7 p.m., and I have a special guest here, a truly pillar of WMFO here, Mike Stewart.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
All right.
I can't hear myself. But
I was going to say, so what's going on here?
There we go. I've been here such a long time, I forget how things work. Wow, it's really echoey.
Yeah, that's actually odd.
Yeah.
It's even coming through odd on my...
Yeah, now it's less. I must be in another dimension. Should I switch to another mic?
Well, why don't we try that just for kicks here?
Yeah.
Let me pop this one up here. Sorry, folks, you are witnessing the best of technical wisdom here at WMFO between Mike and myself.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get you on mic three here. Dun-da-da.
Much, but no, it's still echoes.
Gee, that's okay.
Wow. That's strange.
I know Mr. Donovan is in the studio here, so we might have to get him on the in the studio here. But
maybe I'm floating in another dimension.
You know, you're just ethereal. As
you know, maybe I'm back in the 80s. That's
yeah, exactly. So, I apologize, everyone here, yeah, that I don't have this going on here. Unfortunately, Mike and I were just talking in the background here, reliving the golden oldie days of the 80s. And he's turned me on to a lot of Boston 80s bands here from the past. And
we had a very, very good scene here. For people... It's kind of weird with the echo, but
people... Oh, here we go.
That's it. Now we got it.
Okay, we're all good now. What happened, you know, basically when Boston during the 50s and 60s was known as a jazz and a folk town. And any bands were playing, they were playing cover music, and that was pretty much par for the course. And then a few clubs in Boston, like the Rod and Cantones and the Club and a few other places, started playing original music, and then the music scene exploded. And from that scene, you had, you know, obviously, you know, the Cars came out of it. And before then, you know, bands like Aerosmith and Jay Giles and Duke and the Drivers, they had to go to New York to get their contracts, you know, mm-hmm, their showcases. Mm-hmm. But once it exploded here, then the scene very diversified. There was, you know, there was a good punk scene here. There was a good, yep, rock and roll scene. Obviously, in the 80s, there was a lot of great bands that came out of here, and that flourished for many, many years. And then in the 90s, we had a flurry of a lot of bands with women that were running, like Jen Trinan and Led Us to Cleo and Fuzzy and a bunch of them, and they had a great, great time, and a lot of A&R people coming up from New York to signing them. Now the whole landscape is different. I was talking with a band the other day, and I said, I don't know how you get from this level, the top of the pile here, to international. The companies now, there's only a handful of companies that have, and they only have maybe a dozen artists per label, you know, like a Madonna or whoever is the popular pop,
right,
thing now. And so I don't know how they make that transition. I mean, like maybe you have to become an internet star or YouTube star,
yeah,
or you have to, you know, hook up. I know there's some artists that are going from Boston to LA hoping to connect. Obviously, New York is not the place anymore. There is still a music scene in Brooklyn, far as I know. But I guess far as somebody seeing you and making that next jump, I guess that would be it. But we were talking a lot about some of the artists that have become, you know, during that era, and what, you know, what they ended up doing and stuff. But we still have a pretty good scene here in Boston. There's some great artists out there. There's been a little shift in the clubs, so there's some stuff going on about Once and a few other clubs, but there are still great artists playing there. A lot of them you can hear in Automation here.
Yep.
And when there's no live DJ on, put on Automation, you'll hear a lot of live music.
Right.
And that's what we should be promoting. This is a good hub for music in this part of the country.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, and it's funny, talking about the local scene here, I was just going to try to look it up on my phone here, but there was a punk band back, I'm going to say, like, early 2000s. They had a tune out that was essentially addressing that, you know, why Boston music doesn't really crack that ceiling of national recognition. It was like, you know, I'll have to look this up here, but I'm not going to do it justice. But in any event, but it is the case, you know, because, I mean, you know, you think of like maybe like Billy Squier or Jay Giles, you know, way back in the day. Very few artists, though, have really kind of reached that kind of like national recognition.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, there are some great acts that came out of here. It, you know, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It just, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I was having a discussion with a band that was signed in the late 70s, and they had like one album out. I think it was a major label like ABC or something, or Island or something. Mm-hmm. And what happened was when the Cars made it, there was a rush to come in here and just sign bands. But unfortunately, the powers in the radio record companies wanted them to be the next Cars instead of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when you got an album deal, it was like three. And they would let you kind of develop on the first one. And they would, they, you know, as you progressed, you know, got airplay, they would, you know, get better producers and what have you, better promotion. But they were basically, some were just signing bands to tie their hands so nobody else could have them.
Yep.
And you, that sounds insane, but that's what they did. And they would just sit on the band. One band I know, they put Run Record out. And the late, you know, the rug got out pulled from out from, and the people in that that band went to the new owners, whether it be Sony or whatever, Clear Channel, whoever owns it now, and just to look at the tape, not to do anything with their tape. The tape is in a vault. $10,000 just to look at the tape, not to do anything with it. It's like, this is how insane. It's like, so the English industry hurt themselves in many, many ways, and this is one of them. And a lot of Boston bands, they saw the curse of the Boston bands. Sometimes one and done, and they would get, they were supposed to have a three deal, and they got it yanked because it didn't sell. But they come to find out they weren't being promoted.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, is strange, because I know you and I have talked about this before. You know, so I'm originally not from the Boston area.
Where are you from?
I'm from Connecticut originally, so okay. New England in general, but... When I came here to school at Boston University back in 1987, you know, you had FNX, 101.7, and for those of you out there that are listening right now, and if you're younger than we are, that you're going to learn something here, which is good. But, you know, I remember coming up here, because at that time it was owned by the Phoenix newspaper.
Yes.
Boston Phoenix, was it?
Correct? Yes. Yeah. Yep, that's correct.
And, you know, I remember... You know, because the thing is like you get two aspects, at least nowadays, you know, so there's commercial radio and then there's college radio, which of course is what we are, the latter anyway. Mm. And, you know, but FNX, which was commercial at the time, you know, but it was not uncommon for you to hear bands like, you know, Blue Nile or other really kind of esoteric, you know, artists. Whereas now, as you kind of just were commenting on earlier, you know, that it's, you know, the really big names that the big record companies are putting their money behind.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, because they own pretty much all the channels on the spectrum here.
They do.
As far as commercial.
People probably, maybe some people realize that they don't, that basically when the music exploded here and the Cars were the ones that really kind of kicked open the door. For local bands, and they try to recompensate by putting the local bands on their gigs with them, you know, on a tour or the Paradise or the Boston Guy and whatever. And it's changed so much that people don't realize where it all started, but when that was happening, the college stations were on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Oedipus came from, who ended up being...
Right.
But he came, there was a couple stations... WERS, which is Emerson, which is Emerson College, WMBI, which is MIT, right here, WMFO,
yep,
WZBC,
Boston College,
WMWM Salem, and you had people probably from Brandeis, which is HRB, no, Harvard and Brandeis, And even at the time, BU had even a smaller station, not their commercial, their...
not their current one.
Yeah, but they NPR. There was DJs right. that actually came out of those experiences right into commercial radio, BCN, NFX, COZ, etc. And they were, these DJs were not just on top of it for I was international acts, the local acts coming up. Mm-hmm. And NFX and BCN really benefited from that. And they drew, those people, those DJs brought their audience with them
right.
to those stations. And they always stayed on top of the music scene. Music scene is different now.
Yeah.
You know, it's still great and stuff like that. But with the corporations, I'll give you an idea. For the last several years, ZLX has run the Rumble. You notice there was no Rumble this year.
Okay.
Because I had bought them, even though they were going into bankruptcy, and they were in bankruptcy already as they bought. I don't know how this works. They had bought, you know, a ZLX, and one of the first things they kicked free was the local programming and the Rumble.
Huh.
And these big corporations that are, I don't know, in middle America, wherever they are, I'm not interested in local music.
Right.
So it lives here in college radio, yep. community radio. People don't, it's like there is commercial radio that has local program. WAF has a Sunday program. But, you know, ZLX got cut. The River has some little bit of local programming, ATD in Marshfield. But after that is the college stations like us
yep.
that provide the local program. There is some additional programming that's done out of cable stations that have their own radio, and some of it's local and web-based. So that's kind of where we're at right now, music-wise.
Yeah.
That's what's happened music-wise. But I'm happy to see if people listen to the station, supporting this station with their dollars and their listening ears and local music.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. You know, it just, it is unfortunate that, you know, that aspect of just, you know, homegrown music there is just kind of pushed to the marginal spectrum here on the radio.
Yeah.
But at the very least, as you said, you know, that it's a good thing that college radio is taking up the slack for that.
And if there's something you want to hear,
yeah,
they can call you. Savoir faire.
Exactly.
And say, you know, there's a local band that played in the 80s. I'd love to hear them. And we, in college radio, pick up the phones mm-hmm. or take requests on Facebook. You cannot call most major
right.
stations anymore.
Yep.
They're a robot. They're a robot that's in the Midwest. Your Frank FMs, your Mike FMs, your Shocks, whatever it is.
Yeah. Without a doubt. And, you know, for those of you listening here at the moment here, just be sure to take that into heart. So if you are a fledgling artist here in the Boston area, at any time of the day or night, be sure to call the station here at 855-915-WMFO. Again, 855-915-WMFO. And even if it's not something that the particular program at the time focuses on, like obviously mine, it's focused on the 80s. But that being said, we'll get you to somebody, you know, who can help, you know, get your music out there.
And we do have web presence and Facebook.
That's right.
And the DJs, if you go to, like, say, WMFO or some of the other college stations, they'll have our schedule. And over the schedule, it might say rock, folk, like, and you highlight that, and they'll say what those people are playing. You could click on your playlist and go, hey, that guy plays 80s music.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear that. You know, or that guy plays local music, or he plays folk. It's there. The thing is, some people, they want to put on a radio station, leave it on all day, or, you know, we have different programming as the day progresses. But we do have it here, and we do take phone calls. I've been on a couple shows here, 3 or 4 shows.
Yep.
And I'm the one that used to answer the phones.
Right, right.
They would ask for, you know, brown eyed girl or whatever, you know, and you go, okay, see what we can do. But you would get some people go, you know, I really, really like your station. You're playing stuff that I don't hear anymore. I love stuff I never knew about this artist. We have specialized program. We have Something About the Women, which is all women artists.
Mm-hmm.
We have On the Town with Mikey D, that up and coming and live performances right here in WMFO.
Yep.
We have Later on the Lounge that deals with all that kind of music. that...
And just to clarify, on the town with Mikey D, that's a predominantly local.
All local.
Exactly.
And some other DJs do play local music, sure. Which is Crash Course of the Ravers or Rising, mm-hmm. or Mike on the Mic, or Acoustic Ceiling, or actually Rock Under the Radar. There's tons of so, and they're great, and we have some really nice and great DJs that really know their stuff here.
Yep.
And I know if they contact you, you could probably answer a lot of questions about 80s music.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And can play it.
Exactly, play it. Exactly. Well, Mike, thank you so much for checking in here.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Are you filling in for anybody coming up in the near future? Do you know about?
Or I've been basically taking a little bit of vacation because of my health, but I want to do something maybe this summer where I pop in for a couple hours mm-hmm. and do something. I've had a Malden music project. A lot of musicians have come out of Malden, not right. just the Ames Brothers and the Extreme and Norman Greenbaum, a bunch of them. And I want to do a showcase of maybe 2 or 3 hours in the future, maybe during, you know, the summertime or something like that. But, you know, you'll see me. I'll pop in a show once in a while.
Excellent.
I'm mostly doing stuff in the music department now. But thanks for having me on, Savoir Faire. And you're listening to WMFO 91.5 FM web streaming.
There you go, folks.
Listen to the best of the 80s with Savoir Faire.
Thanks, Mike. Take care, everyone. Yeah. We still got about 35 minutes or so to go, so stick around, and we've got Graham Parker here.
Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers this simple economics lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
We are back here on 91.5 WMFO Medford. You are listening to Songs from the Squid Pod with your host, Savoir Faire. We meet here every Saturday evening from 6 to 8 p.m., although this summer I alternate weekly between 6 and 8 and 6 and 9. Tonight is the 6 to 8 flavor. And I seen Danny and the rest of the lounge here floating around the studio, so be sure to stick around for that in just under a half an hour. In the meantime, I just want to say thanks for Mike Stewart for sitting in here and blessing us with his knowledge of the Boston music scene from the past. Much appreciated, Mike. All right, let's talk about what we've been listening to here. I'm not sure where I left off, but we started off with Japan and Quiet Life from 1979. Flesh for Lulu gave us Time and Space off of their 1989 release, Plastic Fantastic Genesis. A little oldie but goldie there. From 1980s Duke, we heard Turn It On Again, and Front 242 gave us Headhunter version 3.0. And that's off of their 1988 release, Front by Front. Graham Parker and The Rumor was in there with Local Girls from 1979's Squeezing Out the Sparks. And we wrapped it up there with Hall & Oates and Everything Your Heart Desires from 1988's Oh Yeah. You have to say it that way because it has an exclamation point at the end of it. All right. We've got the hair metal band of the 80s. Coming up right now, as a matter of fact, and tonight's or this week's edition is featured by Iron Maiden.
Now I spend Broadway. You know, Ninja's incredible looking Swedish girl having a cappuccino across the street from Lincoln Center. I started talking to her, you know, and she said her name was Lola. Her English wasn't too good, you know, but we wound up spending about 5 hours together just hanging out, you know. So we go back to my place and get high and we get really into each other, man. I mean, it was love about to happen, I'm serious. And then all of a sudden she gets up and she says, hey, I really gotta leave. Damn. Really flipped out, you know. She asked me if I'm angry or something. I said, of course I'm angry, man. This isn't high school or anything, you know. So I'm feeling really cavalier. And I say, call me, you know, if you want to. Yeah, call me if you want to. So she rang me up and she says, hey, you wanna go out? So I wanna go out.
Well, that jumped on me there a little bit there, but it's all good. All right, you have been listening to Songs from the Squid Pod with your host, Savoir Faire, here on 91.5 WMFO Medford. Denny and the rest of the lounge are up next, so stick around for that. Let's talk about what we've been listening to here. We started off that set with the hair metal band of the 80s this week here with Iron Maiden, and we heard Wrathchild from 1981's Killers. Husker Du was in there with I Don't Know For Sure from Candy Apple Gray from 1986. Jay Giles, a little local 80s action there. Just giving a shout out to Mike Stewart, who was jumping in here earlier this evening. Hopefully you caught that. We heard Comeback from Love Stinks from 1980. In Spiral Carpets gave us Caravan from 1991, and Susie and the Banshees were in there with Swimming Horses off of their released Hyena from 1984, and we wrapped it up there with Eben Ozen and A-E-I-O-U, sometimes Y, from their 1984 release Feeling Cavalier. Hope you all have a great week, everyone. Be sure to tune in next week when I will be on from 6 to 9 p.m. here, bringing you the best of the 80s. We're going to leave you with Erasure. Take care. Have a good one.